Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, June 28th, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope everybody had the best week they possibly could. My week was a bit crazy. I actually quit my job at MMA On Point, believe it or not. So my tenure at MMA On Point, about a three-year tenure, is now over. I won't get into the specifics, but I will say I really feel like I made the right decision, and I'm happy that I'm still right here at Fightful, hitting you guys all up with the Weekender podcast. So thank you very much for joining, and thanks to everybody for the support. Those of you who know kind of how my last week has been, those of you who have reached out, I very much appreciate it. So I'll leave everything at that. Just wanted to throw that out there in case you also watch that channel over there at MMA On Point, and you notice, hey, Steven's videos aren't going up anymore. That's the reason why. So once again, thanks for the support, and let's talk about some professional wrestling today. It's been a pretty crazy week in pro wrestling as well, so a lot to talk about. Not much as far as new results are concerned, though. So on today's episode, we're going to be giving results for Impact Wrestling and 205 Live. That's pretty much the only new results we have. I will talk about the NWA a little bit. I will dig deep, as deep as I can, on the Tessa Blanchard news. Obviously, that's probably the biggest news as far as, like, unrelated to, like, scandal. But she also is tied to a bit of controversy as well in her career. So we're going to be talking Tessa Blanchard and, you know, maybe where she could wind up next, and try to discuss that situation a bit as well. That's probably the thing I'm most looking forward to on today's episode. I also have a recap for you of Being the Elite, titled Christian AF. I'm going to give you some recommendations on matches and shows to watch as well. So I have no idea if this is going to be like a short episode, a long episode, or, you know, I almost said like regular sized episode, because I don't know. It usually lasts around like 45 minutes to an hour, I guess, give or take. Usually no less than a half hour. So we'll see how this goes. Obviously, there's no Ring of Honor to talk about, although I do have a recommended match to check out from Ring of Honor from the past. There's, once again, we'll just get into this. Let's just jump right in. So first up, I have your show to watch on IWTV, and my recommended show this week is GCW's Jersey J-Cup 2002. So this show happened like 18 years ago, but it is available on independentwrestling.tv now. It's new to their streaming platform. And once again, you know, GCW, Game Changer Wrestling, they still put shows on, and they're still, you know, very active. They had a show with fans outside last week. So, like, they're really trying to kind of, I think, spearhead, you know, the return of professional wrestling on the independent scene. And they did it in a really good way, in my opinion. They practiced social distancing. You know, the chairs were set apart from each other, and it was outdoors. And it looks like, I think everyone was wearing masks, from what I could tell, or for the most part. So it's good to see. But back in 2002, they had the Jersey J-Cup, and these are the matches to expect. There's a lot of recognizable names and faces and stuff on this show. So I'm not going to give you the full tournament, because it is a tournament. I'll give you all the first round matches, and then if you want to check out this show, which once again I recommend here on independentwrestling.tv, there's the first round, of course, and there's also quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. So you'll see a lot of these performers more than once on the show, especially those who advance and eventually win this whole thing. So these are the first round matchups in GCW's Jersey J-Cup 2002. We have Supreme Lee Great versus Brian Danielson, a.k.a. Daniel Bryan. We have Dave Greco versus Dixie, Mark Briscoe versus Sean Sheridan. And Mark Briscoe, of course, still part of Ring of Honor, part of the tag team, the Briscoe brothers, with his brother Jay. And, you know, I mentioned Brian Danielson earlier. I feel like I don't really need to explain who Brian Danielson is at this point, but obviously Daniel Bryan has had a Hall of Fame-worthy career in the WWE. We had Scoot Andrews versus Jason Rumble, Colt Cabana versus Damian Drago, and, you know, Colt Cabana, current part of Being the Elite, current part of AEW. I'll be talking about him on Being the Elite later on in my recap of their latest episode. So Colt Cabana is still active, and it's pretty crazy because this is, you know, Colt had a very short run in WWE as Scotty Goldman, but as far as, like, really having, like, a chance on mainstream television, AEW is pretty much the first chance that I can remember in his career. I mean, he might have done some stuff in Impact briefly and stuff like that, but this is like, he had such a short run in WWE. He was never a part of NXT. Like, it just didn't exist while he was around. Or in the same form that it currently does. And it's crazy. I mean, 18 years, basically, from this. So yeah, you can go back and watch some old Colt Cabana. We had Quinnon Creed versus AJ Styles. Obviously, AJ Styles, current Intercontinental Champion on the WWE right now. In my opinion, probably the best wrestler in the world, still. And that's obviously debatable. Like, there are plenty of wrestlers that, like, if you brought them up and made a case, like, I wouldn't argue it. But I as far as somebody who's just completely versatile, completely reliable, because, you know, always good matches, regardless of the opponent, whether, you know, whether their size, their speed, how much experience they have in the wrestling business. Like, AJ Styles can have a good match with everybody, and he can literally do everything. It's crazy because, like, in the WWE, there's a lot of his moves he just, like, doesn't use, which I think is smart because, you know, I think it adds more longevity to his career potentially, and also when he does some of these other moves, it really pops the crowd. And what I really, really, really like about what AJ Styles has done in WWE is he's established multiple moves as potential finishing moves. So, like, he has the phenomenal forearm, he has the calf crusher, he has the Styles Clash, he has the Springboard 450. I'm probably missing others. So it's one of these things where, like, AJ has so many credible moves that it makes his matches way less predictable because you don't know when the match is going to end. Like, you're not sure which move is going to be the one that gets his opponent, but any of them can. And I really, really like that dynamic of what AJ Styles has done. And like I said, he's probably the best wrestler alive on the planet right now still. And I know, and that's actually hard for me to say, especially because, like, I'm such an AEW fan, like, over WWE at the moment. I really don't even watch Raw or SmackDown anymore. I keep up with NXT. I dual screen NXT and AEW on Wednesdays, and I definitely watch all the NXT takeovers. So, you know, not so much as, like, I guess a WWE versus AEW thing or, you know, NXT thing. I guess the reason I bring all this up is because it would be very easy for me to choose other people outside the WWE because of my current dislike for the company and the product. But there's nothing bad I can say about AJ Styles still, as far as a professional wrestling standpoint. Like, he really is phenomenal. Like, and there's really that's really the best way to describe him. After that, we've got CM Punk versus Billy Real. Obviously, CM Punk, a guy I don't need to talk about too much, but somebody that I talked about quite a lot on my recent live chat with Jesse Davin. Me and her do YouTube chats a couple times a week, and CM Punk was a pretty big point of this most recent episode we did. And I won't, you know, talk too much about it because I did so much earlier this week. But CM Punk is such an interesting case right now because, you know, the wrestling world would obviously love to have him back, but it's just one of these things. Like, I mean, I'm just going to be dead honest. Like, his run in the UFC, like, really soured me on him. And I know that professional wrestling and mixed martial arts are two completely different things, but I had to, like, closely follow CM Punk's, you know, MMA run, and I knew, as did a lot of other people, I knew that he was having trouble in his own gym, like, preparing for his UFC fights. Trouble, not like he didn't get along with people. From all accounts, he actually gets along with everybody there at Rufus Sport. He trains out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Apparently, he gets along with all those people fantastically. Like, everyone loves Phil Brooks the person. The problem is, it was clear he stood no chance against anybody in the octagon. Like, he just should not have been in there. And it's a completely different case than someone like Brock Lesnar or, you know, Dan Severn or Ken Shamrock or even Bobby Lashley or, you know, it's like a completely different thing. CM Punk didn't have the background for it. He just didn't have the skill, the athleticism, he just doesn't. He moves differently than every other fighter I've ever seen. It was a bad idea. So my thing is, like, for CM Punk to come back to professional wrestling, if he does, I think that it needs to happen in front of a crowd. Like, I'd like to see it happen in AEW just because I feel like him going back to WWE, even though he did the backstage show, I feel like he's still kind of like, I don't want to say selling out, but it's like, after everything you've said about this company, like, you're gonna go back there when there's this other option that's, like, basically exactly what you were trying to make changes about when you left. You know, like, CM Punk, everything that he was complaining about, AEW is trying to do and fix and make mainstream in the wrestling world. So for CM Punk to go back to the WWE, automatically, to me, it's like, okay, like, so did you really want these changes, or did you want more money, or were you just fed up with the business? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, if you just go back there, nothing has really changed. I mean, there's definitely newer superstars that have been around and have been elevated since him, but really not that many. And nobody even, like, to his level, like, where he is currently still. He's still probably a much bigger star in the WWE than anyone else they have on their you know, full-time roster. So it's just kind of crazy, like, to think about and weigh out. But if CM Punk showed up in AEW, especially if there was a crowd, like a big crowd, like especially in Chicago where they go often, like the initial pop would be enormous. Like, it would be a huge deal for CM Punk to show up. But my concerns lie in, like, okay, so CM Punk shows up, and maybe he has a couple, you know, dream matches against some people in AEW, and the matches are good, right? Maybe they're great. Maybe they're the best matches I've ever seen. Maybe CM Punk is still, he's still the man. My concern is he still the man, though? Because you'd have CM Punk, who's, you know, much older now, much older than, like, the average age of the AEW roster in general. And, you know, you have, you know, Hangman Page and Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and Cody. And, like, I know I've just named the Elite, but, I mean, you even have guys like Jungle Boy on the rise and Luchasaurus. You have Darby Allin and MJF. And, you know, if I don't want to praise the guy at the moment, but, like, if Sammy Guevara, they figured things out and he, you know, can prove that, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, if Sammy Guevara eventually makes a return, he's a guy who they were clearly positioning to be a future superstar in AEW, and he's incredible in the ring. All the personal stuff aside, if I'm saying, like, just in ring, like, who would I rather watch right now? Sammy Guevara, CM Punk, it's probably Sammy Guevara. If I'm talking strictly in ring, you know, I'm not condoning the things Sammy Guevara said about Sasha and all that. Like, I'm not going to get into all that. I think for those of you who've listened to the show, especially over time, you know how I feel about these things, and, like, I am not condoning him at all. And I think that his punishment is just. I think that it's good that he's going to the counseling and they suspended him off television. I think it was all the right moves. But at some point, especially because Sammy is so young, and he said he's grown up a lot in the last 4 years, and his views on life have differed. And I can honestly believe that, because I'm 32 years old right now. I'm a completely different person than I was when I was 25, and way different than I ever was, you know, at you know, 20 or 18 or whatever. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've changed significantly. I mean, I've changed between this year and last year, even, in certain ways, where it's just, I just constantly. So anyway, I think Sammy will eventually come back, and anyway, I throw him in that list of guys that, you know, I'd rather watch than CM Punk in the ring. So I'll just be honest about that. You know what I mean? It's just like, and CM Punk is also, you know, another former WWE guy. And I get that it's CM Punk, and I get that there are differences. And, like, if you can get CM Punk in pro wrestling right now, you have to do it because of the immediate buzz it creates. But I just long term, I don't think it helps as much as what people think. And I'll just leave it at that. So you have CM Punk versus Billy Real in this tournament. And then in the last first-round match, you have Insane Dragon versus Reckless Youth. So, really great stuff. Once again, that's GCW's Jersey J-Cup 2002. It's available right now on independentwrestling.tv. Speaking of... well, not really speaking of. I guess let's move right into the free YouTube match, which I want to recommend to you all. It is going to be on Ring of Honor's YouTube channel. They recently uploaded Lio Rush versus Punishment Martinez from the 2016 Top Prospect Tournament. Obviously, Leo Rush is a free agent at the moment, and he is somebody that, similar to Sammy Guevara, not for saying the same types of things, but similar to Sammy Guevara, you can tell that his age is playing a factor in where his career is at right now. I think it's a maturity thing, probably, and it's understandable, though, because, I mean, these are, you know, Leo Rush, I don't know how old Leo is, but he's, I'm actually going to look it up right now, just so I don't sound ignorant in what I'm about to say. Leo Rush is currently 25. You know, I mean, that's a kid. I mean, I get that, like, he's a man, he's an adult, I understand, but, like, think about some of these issues, like, that he was having with the WWE, you know, a couple years ago when he was probably, like, you know, 23, 24. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of time for people to change between the time, you know. I don't think that people really hit their prime in pro wrestling until, like, their early 30s anyways. So, a lot of these performers, like, to be dead honest, like, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I think Leo Rush will probably wind up in AEW eventually. He's just way too good in the ring, and like I said, I don't know, like, what he has actually said and done to kind of get him into the spot that he's in, because he's so good in the ring, and he's great on the mic as well. He did great with Lashley, in my opinion. So it's just confusing, like, how big of a pain in the butt do you have to be to be in the spot right now, and if that is the case, it's just, that's just kind of what you always see reported. And I don't know. I would just hope that Leo could get along with the AEW locker room enough to the point where, like, they could bring him in, because he is just so good. And then you have Punishment Martinez, who, of course, is now Damian Priest in NXT and clearly being used as one of their top prospects. But no pun intended. You know, in 2016, these two were top prospects of the independent scene. And right now, Punishment Martinez is one of the top prospects in NXT, just about, you know, 4 or so years later. So, because there was no new Ring of Honor show to talk about, I went ahead and recommended this match for you all. You can check out the Ring of Honor YouTube channel, check this match out, and they have a ton of other stuff, a lot of content on the NWA, or almost at NWA. I'll be talking about them in a second, on the Ring of Honor YouTube channel, a lot of content. But speaking of the NWA, there is no new content on their channel. And I'd imagine that has a lot to do with the fact that Dave Lagana no longer works there. He was fired for what seems like good reason, if all the things are true about what's been reported about his whole situation. So Dave Lagana was really the lifeblood of all this content. Like, Billy Corgan owns the company. I'm a big Billy Corgan fan. I think he's a cool guy. I'm a Smashing Pumpkins fan. One of the first concerts I ever went to in my entire life was actually a band called Zwan that a lot of people probably don't remember or have ever heard about, but Billy Corgan was the lead singer of that band. In between his runs, like when Smashing Pumpkins was on hiatus. I've always been a big fan of his, and I've always known he's a big wrestling fan, and I thought it was really cool when he bought the National Wrestling Alliance. But it was pretty clear from my understanding that, you know, Dave Lagana was really the one doing the majority of, like, making all of these things happen. You know, he's the one who has all the experience in the wrestling business, and I'm sure Corgan was very involved. But Lagana, like, without Dave, I guess what I'm getting at is, without Dave Lagana, I don't know if the NWA can, like, exist or rebound. I really don't. They're going to have to really find somebody. It's going to be hard to find somebody with that kind of experience in the area they need. And, you know, kind of one of those signs to me that they're in trouble is that they haven't uploaded anything to their YouTube channel this entire week. And this is a company that, since Dave Lagana has been around, has been consistently uploading content on their YouTube channel. Like, even if they didn't have any wrestling matches or anything like that, there was always, you know, podcasts or, you know, highlight videos or, you know, the 10 Pounds of Gold series or them talking about classic stuff that has happened in the history of the National Wrestling Alliance. And there was always stuff that they would be putting up there to to get content out there when, you know, just consistent content is incredibly important on YouTube. You don't want oversaturation, but you still want consistency. And I think they had nailed that pretty well as far as how they ran the NWA YouTube channel. And with there being no new content at all on the channel this past week, to me that's it's a very interesting sign. I'll just say that. Up next we have results for Impact Wrestling. Started off with Tasha Steelz defeating Nevaeh. Finish came with a roll-up and holding the tights. Kiera Hogan was with Tasha Steelz, by the way. Deonna Purrazzo defeats Alicia. Was this Deonna's debut? I can't remember if this was her Impact debut. I know she appeared either last week or the week before. There's been so much going on in my life and in the wrestling world. Some of these wrestling shows are like blending together at this point. So I apologize for the lack of continuity here. But basically, Purrazzo gets the win with a Fujiwara armbar, and she's clearly being positioned as the next challenger to Jordan Grace's Knockouts title. As a matter of fact, Jordan Grace actually comes out after this match. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that'll be really good. Jordan Grace is a girl that I've been praising for a long time, way before she was even in Impact Wrestling. She was somebody that I kept up with on the indie scene. Somebody that is one of the few, and I don't mean this as like a knock, but she's one of the few women that I think does intergender wrestling pretty well, or really well in some cases. It's just, you know, for those of you who listen to this show consistently, you know, y'all know I'm not the biggest fan of intergender wrestling, but there are certain female performers who can pull it off in a way that I still am entertained. And Tessa Blanchard is one of them. Jordan Grace is one of them as well. So, and there's more than just those two, but they're, you know, two great examples of just women who are just, you know, great no matter who their opponent is. After that, Josh Alexander was supposed to fight Ken Shamrock, but the North come out and attack Ken, so the match never actually happens. Up next, Taya Valkyrie defeats Susie. She gets the win after hitting the Road to Valhalla. So, good to see Valkyrie. I mean, I'm interested in what's going on with her, because I figured when Johnny Nitro or Impact or again John Morrison now in the WWE, I kind of felt like she would be bailing from Impact. You know, I just always just kind of felt like that. Like, not that she needed to, like, just because, like, your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, like, you know, that just because they leave the company doesn't mean you're going to have to also, but I just kind of assumed, like, Taya Valkyrie's really good. She's a good worker. Her whole presentation, she looks good, everything, you know. And she's somebody that I feel like if Morrison, you know, has any say at all over the WWE, just even just getting in a few people's ears to take a look at Taya, you'd think that she'd probably want to head that way. But that's just all speculation and assumption on my part, to be fair, though. But yeah, another one for Taya, and it's just interesting to see kind of where she goes from here. She was obviously, you know, a long time Knockouts champion, so I doubt she's going to be getting that belt back, and so, you know, so that's just kind of where it's kind of confusing. Odd spot right now for her. Up next, Chris Bay or Heat Raju and Johnny Swinger defeat Willie Mack and the Deaners. The finish comes when Willie hits Heat Raju with a stunner, and then Chris Bay hits a Famaster to get the 1-2-3. And yeah, I hate this. I hate the booking of this, because so Chris Bay is great. Raheet Raju is better than how he is featured on Impact. I'll just put it that way. Johnny Swinger, I still have no interest in watching on my TV screen in 2020. I feel like he's just taking a spot, and he seems like a super nice guy. I've seen recent interviews of his. He seems like a great guy. It's just so strange to me that he's a part of this. And my issues lie here. You know, Willie Mack, He's the X Division champion. I think Willie Mack is one of the most important people in Impact Wrestling. He's somebody that could be the X Division champion, he could be the world champion, he could be a tag team champion. He's super versatile. He's unique. He brings a lot of stuff to the table. I think that Willie Mack, he already should be bigger in Impact Wrestling than he already is. I like his position currently as the X Division champion, but he's somebody that they could really build the company around if they can lock him into a contract. And he might already be in a long-term contract. I just don't know. But he's just one of those guys that's just like, he has everything it would take to be the top guy in the company. It's just super valuable there. And then the Deaners, what, you know, upsets me about this finish is, you know, Jake, I think, is a fantastic worker. I think that Jake is somebody that, you know, on the indies, he's known as Jake something. He's a really, really talented singles performer, and he's great at tag team wrestling as well. He has a tag team with Curt Stallion that I really like, too, on the indies. I mean, versatile performer, really, really enjoy his work. And Cody just returned. So it's like, Cody just returned. Jake has been doing great, you know, or in my opinion, he's been doing great without him. And this is not a knock to Cody. It's just like Jake was holding his own while Cody was gone. And Willie Mack has been on a roll. And then you have him lose to this kind of this random team. It's like, oh, man, I don't know. I don't like the booking there. After the match, we got Rito Scum mocking D'Lo Brown. And then TJP and Fallbaugh challenge them to a match. The main event of the show, Madman Fulton defeats Eddie Edwards by pinfall. Finish comes when Madman Fulton hits a swinging DDT for the 1-2-3. We see D'Lo Brown talking to someone someone on a computer backstage. And he grabs an Aces and Ace jacket. Here we go, right? So the last few weeks, I was sitting here and, like, I've been praising Impact week after week. Tessa hadn't been there. I'm going to talk about her in a second. Tessa hadn't been there. They're world champion. A lot of people hadn't been there. Michael Elgin, I hadn't even mentioned him. Michael Elgin's been released by the company amongst, you know, new allegations and stuff. They're thin on their roster right now. We'll just put it that way. But they've been doing really, really well, in my opinion, with what they've had. They've elevated Ace Austin. Ace Austin was with Madman Fulton, by the way. On this show, you know, they've elevated Ace Austin throughout this time. They have elevated Moose throughout this time. They've done good things. They've elevated Willie Mack throughout this time. But now it's like the booking is getting very confusing to me. And I get that they're building towards Slammiversary and some like big news and announcements and debuts and returns and stuff like that. And I'm very much interested in the show. Trust me. I'm looking forward to watching it. But, I mean, I like Madman Fulton over Eddie Edwards. I don't like that. Chris Bay versus the Chris Bay, Raju, Johnny Swinger. Like I said, Chris Bay, I have no problem with. Right, Raju, I have no problem with, but it's like, it's just kind of, it just didn't make sense how this all went down. There's just stuff that's just, you know, not the best week as far as I'm concerned, as far as Impact Wrestling goes. Not the worst, but not the best. But then to like, the icing on the cake is D'Lo Brown grabbing an Aces and Ace jacket. Because it's like, okay, like maybe it'll just be something where Aces and Ace makes like an appearance at Slammiversary or something like that. But so do so many other people. Just kind of like a big best of type show almost, which I'd be fine with. But if they're going to actually like revive Aces and Ace, a storyline that, to its credit, was interesting for a while, but then just wound up making no sense at all and just wound up actually hurting the careers of a lot of people, I think. Especially someone like Ken Anderson. You know, I was never the biggest Mr. Kennedy fan, but I can look at his Impact run and be like, yeah, the Aces and Eights thing is what did him in, because he was like the world champion and like a standalone singles guy in Impact, and then, like, once he joined Aces and Ace, he just became, like, just another one of the, like, the almost like the faceless henchmen behind Bully Ray and a couple others that were highlighted more in the group. So, Yeah, Aces and Eights didn't really accomplish anything. The Brooke Hogan storyline with Bubba Ray was weird. It's just, you know, it's one of those things where, like, there's no need at all to bring back Aces and Eights in 2020. And, like, for D'Lo Brown to be the one, like, you know, one of the guys, like, you know, it's like, I love D'Lo Brown. He's one of my favorite wrestlers ever. Not ever. I shouldn't say that. It's a bit of an exaggeration. But back in the Attitude Era, he was one of my favorite wrestlers. I loved his look. I loved his moveset. He had great moves. Like his low down and the down low, both of those moves. The sky high. The way you do, like, the finger guns and the leg drops and stuff like that. He was cool in the video games. Like, they had his mannerisms, his head shakes and his pointing and all that stuff. D'Lo Brown was great, but, like, once again, similar to Johnny Swinger, I don't need D'Lo Brown getting involved in storylines on my national television wrestling shows in 2020. That's just me personally. Up next, we have 205 Live results. Really just one match to talk about. It is Isaiah Swerve Scott defeating Tony Nese. Really good match. It was, like, somewhere between, like, 20 minutes and a half hour, I think. And, yeah, I don't know what to really say other than it was a really solid match. Swerve got the win with a pair of double stomps. And the good thing about this is they seem to really be building Swerve towards something. Most likely a Cruiserweight title match. But he's a guy who, like, he could be used in any capacity. Swerve could be, you know, the Cruiserweight champion, mainly doing 205 Live and making, like, appearances on NXT. But he's also a guy who, like, he could be prominently featured on NXT in any storyline. He could be prominently featured on Raw or SmackDown. I mean, the guy's talented and he's ready. He's ready for whatever. He's a great wrestler. He's got a great look. He carries him the way he carries himself. And he's a super nice guy. He's a guy that I interviewed years ago. He gave me, like, an hour of his time back when, like, my personal podcast was, like, there was literally no reason to come on my show other than, like, just to do me a favor. And that guy, he's just a great guy. And I know I'm a bit biased by saying that, but it's just my own personal experiences with the guy. I've actually talked to him in person as well. I've talked to him over the phone. I've talked to him in person. And he's just the guy where, like, you meet him at shows and he just, a very, very nice guy. There's really no other way of saying it. Like, he's the kind of guy that I'm happy to see succeed in professional wrestling. And Tony Nese is great as well. Like, Tony Nese is just kind of in a spot where he's just kind of like a gatekeeper at this point for NXT, or for 205 Live. That's not necessarily the worst position to be in, because he still at least has a job and he's on television. But you can just kind of tell. I mean, unless they put Tony Nese on, like, SmackDown or something, I could see him being a part of, like, stuff with like, Matt Riddle and I would want to say Timothy Thatcher, but not Timothy Thatcher. Drew Gulak. Drew Gulak and Daniel Bryan and all that kind of stuff. And Timothy Thatcher as well. Like, him versus Timothy Thatcher in NXT, I'd be happy to watch that. So, anyway, you know, good match. If you want to check out a good match, check out 205 Live this week. There's just not a whole lot more we can talk about. All that's left here is Being the Elite. We got a recap of the latest episode titled Christian AF. Show starts off with Nick Jackson playing with his little baby boy son. He's like, you know, he's just playing around with him on the floor, and he says he has a cute baby face or something along those lines. And then of course the multiverse stops, and Matt Hardy explains that a babyface in professional wrestling is who is supposed to be getting cheered. It's basically the good guy, is what he's explaining. Colt Cabana is playing around with Kenny Omega backstage. He's, like, running into the room and being like, oh, yeah, let's go, and, like, running away because, you know, all these other episodes, Kenny's been chasing him around and they've been fighting each other and stuff. Kenny's just not in the mood to play around with him, and he doesn't want to chase after him and stuff. And basically tells Colt Cabana that he, at some point in the future, will just beat Colt within an inch of his life. And he says things along the lines of, like, I'm going to leave you in a puddle of, like, your own blood and diarrhea and stuff. I don't know. He got pretty graphic with it. But yeah, Kenny Omega is basically just biding his time. And eventually he's going to beat the heck out of Colt Cabana. You know what? We're going to talk about Tessa right at the end. So I just realized I skipped over what I wanted to say about her. After I finish recapping Being the Elite, I will talk about Tessa Blanchard. Sorry about that, everybody. so we have, so Colt Cabana, yeah, he's going to get beat up by Kenny Omega at some point in the near future, it seems like. We see the Best Friends driving a golf cart. They're heading towards Brandon Cutler. Brandon Cutler is filming, being the Elite, of course. They drive right up to Cutler, and Cutler asks if they have a BTE bit. They don't have one again this week, apparently, because they just back the cart up, and they just bail out of there. We get a Spanglish segment with Santana and Ortiz about the words hamburger and hot dog. It's just lame. It's super lame. Like, this is about as bad, if not as bad, possibly worse than the whole private party $12 stuff that went on for far too long. Yeah, the Spanglish thing, I would just drop this whole thing completely. It just, I'm just going to be honest, it just isn't funny. And I'm not, like, offended or anything by it, by the way. It's not, like, it's nothing like that. It's just, I just don't think it's funny. And I don't think anybody else does either. After that, Cutler is arguing with Peter Avalon about whose fault it is that they keep losing. We then cut to a scene where there's a match board, you know, a big whiteboard full of matches, and the matches that are on there say Luther versus MJF in a Braun Panties match, Bucks versus local jobbers, SCU versus NYC, and Marco versus Giant Gonzalez, which I thought that was really funny that they threw those matches on there for this show. And Private Party is looking at that match board, and they're confused why they're not booked. Nick Jackson says Creative has nothing for them, and they think he's kidding around, and then he says he's dead ass again. And similar to the Spanglish stuff and the Private Party $12 storyline that I just mentioned, I'm just going to be honest, like, there's not funny. I don't know how else to say it. Incredible in-ring workers, Private Party. But just not funny and just not entertaining outside of the ring. Anything that I've seen, they just come off as very, very cheesy to me. After that, we get a TH2 promo, basically talking about how they've been neglected and overlooked throughout the run in AEW so far. Next, something I thought was hilarious. Best Friends are outside. Trent says, what if we did something to Brandon? Like, they're trying to come up with a Being the Elite bit. And he says, what if we did something to Brandon? Chuck says, like what? Trent says, like, kill him. And Orange Cassidy is like, well, how do you want to kill him? So then Trent says, like, Home Alone with traps. And he starts explaining, you know, like, heating up the doorknob and, you know, booby-trapping a house, like in Home Alone. And they all are basically talking about how they can all be like Macaulay Culkin, and Brandon Cutler is basically the Wet Bandits. And then Orange Cassidy comes up with an idea where he says, we can be a family and go get Coronas and drive fast cars. And Chuck Taylor cuts him off, and he's like, you're talking about Fast and Furious again. And Orange Cassidy's like, but The Rock will be there, which is just so... For those of you who don't know, Orange Cassidy's obsessed with Fast and Furious. Like, even if you go back and find... Part of me wants people not even to find these videos anymore, because these people will just wind up probably getting canceled if... I mean, maybe rightfully so, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, what was funny years ago is a lot of that is just no longer funny now, and you have to, there are certain cases that I honestly think you have to put into perspective when things were said and the context that they were said, and we can always go back, but that's part of, like, that's, you know, getting better and making everyone better and learning is like, okay, you know what, that was funny then, we're not going to punish you for that, but there's been no trace of it since then. Or if there has been, that's when it's like, okay, we need to have, like, an intervention here and figure this out. The reason I say all these things is because you can find old videos on YouTube that include Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends. And, well, not really the Best Friends. Chuck Taylor's in them and a bunch of other indie wrestlers that you would definitely notice today. And there was a lot of different skits. It was very similar to Being the Elite back in the day. And Orange Cassidy used to have a segment on the show called Orange Cassidy's Movie Reviews. And he would always just say, like, one thing about every other movie. But when we get to Fast and Furious movies, he would just talk until they cut him off, you know. So I love seeing the continuation there where, like, Orange Cassidy is still obsessed with Fast and Furious. And his big reasoning for wanting to do the Fast and Furious stuff is because The Rock will be there, which is just great. After that, Brandon Cutler offers Matt Jackson aspirin because Matt Jackson's in pain after his match. Matt doesn't take it because he says he doesn't take drugs, and he says he's Christian AF. Hangman tries giving Matt a beer. Matt declines. He walks into a room where a private party is drinking with Matt Hardy, and then they offer Matt vodka. Matt declines because he's Christian AF. Another scene where it's just like private party, Matt Hardy. Very odd pairing. We'll see where it goes. Like, I'm open-minded about it. I want to see where it goes. But yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of strange. It's kind of a strange pairing, but there is a lot they can do with it. There is a lot they can do with that, especially with them in the Elite, like how Matt Hardy is in the Elite as like broken Matt, but like kind of also like as a different version of Matt Hardy, hanging out with Private Party a lot. So I am interested to see where that all goes. Once again, Private Party's acting, I think, is just not entertaining, just not funny, whatever. Something about the way that their comedy delivery just isn't for me. But that doesn't mean that they can't tweak things and figure it out. Like, I mean, they're so good in the ring that it's like, I don't really care about their characters because I really want to just watch their matches. Their match, especially with the Young Bucks in the first round of that inaugural tag team tournament, that match was just incredible. So I'll always be a Private Party fan based on even just that alone. And then I thought it was interesting and kind of funny how in the outro this week, Matt Jackson is bleeding all over the place because he's been blading a lot during Being the Elite. So that's the Being the Elite recap, once again, titled Christian AF. It's available right now on YouTube. And yeah, the Tessa Blanchard stuff. So let's go back to that before we get out of here. So I guess my thoughts on this are, so with Tessa, in my opinion, and I've been saying this, I've been doing this show, The Weekender, for, well, I guess around a year and a half or so, and I've been saying consistently that Tessa Blanchard, in my opinion, is the best female professional wrestler in the world. And she's one of the best, regardless of gender. She's a fantastic wrestler. Her presentation, her facial expressions, her in-ring work, she's, like I've mentioned earlier on the show, she is somebody who, like, she can wrestle men and women, and it's entertaining. And I'm very interested to see where she lands next. The big question is, like, the stuff online, right? So, she's had allegations against her in the past of saying racist and homophobic things, I believe, or what is mainly out there. And once again, these are allegations. I don't know if there has been any proof, but at the same time, it's like, you can't, if someone says something and it isn't, like, written down or typed out or in, like, a text message or something like that, if someone says something and you hear it, like neither party is going to have proof. You know, so it's, like, just really hard to know who, you know, like, if she is as big of a problem backstage as what's been reported by certain people. Because there's been others who have defended Tessa and said, like, I've never experienced this and I... And they've gone to bat for her over it as well. So it's just hard to know. But similar to the Sammy Guevara thing, like, Tessa, I think, is only, like, 24 years old at the moment. And if she said stuff before, I'm not condoning it, but it's like, I said a lot of stupid shit when I was in college. You know what I mean? From the time I was 18 to 22, I think, I was in college. And I said and did a lot of stuff that I would never in a million years do at 32. 10 years later, there's things that I would have never said and done when, you know, at 25, 26, 27 or whatever that I did when I was 22, like in that time span. So all I can hope is that Tess has learned from the past. If she has done anything like that, she's been called out for it publicly. And, you know, she's just so talented that there's going to be a company you picks her up. Like, whether it's NXT, WWE, or AEW, she will get picked up by one of those. And if I'm the WWE, I don't even have her go to NXT. Like, I mean, for me, I'd enjoy watching her in NXT because I follow NXT, so I'd actually be watching her. I don't watch Raw and SmackDown often anymore, so, like, I probably just wouldn't be able to watch her wrestle. I shouldn't say be able. I just wouldn't have interest in watching the show just to watch her wrestle, I guess I should say. But to be honest, like, she really should just go straight to, like, Raw or SmackDown or wherever Charlotte is, You know, she should immediately be wrestling Charlotte and whenever Becky comes back, if she does, you know, Becky and Sasha and Bayley and Asuka, she should be in that mix immediately. She's ultra talented from a wrestling perspective. But, you know, AEW, would she fit in with that locker room? You know, they're a very inclusive locker room. You can see with the people that are hired out to the company and used on television and stuff. You know, I'm not gonna single people out or anything like that. But like, it's clear that they're open to the trans community and the LGBTQ and I'm probably missing other letters, and I don't mean that to be disrespectful. It's just you understand the point of what I'm saying. Like they have people of all colors, in power positions within the company, and a lot of men and women are there, and once again, of all colors and backgrounds and sexual orientation and stuff. It's like, and you know, if Tessa can go there and she can fit in and she doesn't show any hint of what has been alleged against her, like, I think she would be a fantastic fit in AEW. I think she should be the AEW champion immediately. The only reservation I would have is she was the Impact Wrestling champion, the world champion, not just the women's champion, the world champion for both genders. And she, I'm not saying she should have been showing up to these shows, but it's like, if you're given the world title in a promotion, even if it's Impact, if you're given a world title and like you're cool with just mailing it back to them because you don't care about it, excuse me, that's kind of an interesting look as well. Something I would just consider just a little bit if I was AEW or NXT. It's like, if we give her the world title or the women's title, like, and then just we don't get along for whatever reason, is she just going to sit at home, set us back the title, and refuse to work? I don't know. I guess it's also not for me to know. I just I don't know her personally. I don't know the experiences that others have had backstage with her. I don't know what's true and what isn't. I just don't know enough personally about the scenario. But what I do know is she will get signed by a major company. And I mean, her dad totally obviously is a part of AEW. And then she has all the built-in storylines in the WWE. It's like she will wind up in one of the two. So it's going to be interesting to see how the wrestling world reacts to it. And also to see if Tessa, like, for all we know, Tessa hasn't done any of the stuff that's been talked about. Or for all we know, she's done all of it. It's just, only time will tell. And hopefully if she has, said some of these things in the past, she's grown since then. She knows not to do those things and she's paid for it. Because publicly a lot of people believe that she has. So whether she has or hasn't, the allegations have definitely hurt her reputation, regardless. You know what I mean? So, I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that that's how it works. That's how it works on the internet. We live in a world currently where everything's done backwards, unfortunately. I say unfortunately, but, people who do these things, obviously, I hope they get called out and punished for it, as they should. But the way the internet currently works is, like, someone gets an allegation thrown at them, they're immediately seen as guilty, their whole reputation is ruined, and this is all before they have, like, a fair, their right, I mean, there's no other way of saying it, their right of being innocent until proven guilty. Like, that just gets totally stripped away from them in the public eye, and, it just shouldn't work that way. It should be, okay, allegation, but I don't know how you do the, I don't know how you put it out there. I mean, because, sometimes you have to do it publicly or else people just aren't going to listen or care. So you have to consider that as well. But I just wish people weren't so quick to jump on people over stuff. But once things start being proven, then it's like, obviously that's when it's like, okay, yes, let's jump on these people. Like, look, there's proof that they did this. But then on the other side, like I was saying earlier, this is what makes it so tricky. There have been things that have happened to me even in the past where like I want to say something about something that I think is messed up, but I don't have any proof of it. Like, it was said to me out loud. I don't have it voice recorded. I don't have it typed. I don't have, you know what I mean? But I know it happened, and it changed my opinion of somebody. And so you know what I mean? It's just a very, very tricky thing, especially with, like, the current climate of what's going on in the world right now, especially, like, within the world of wrestling. And let me make this clear. The stuff that these monsters who have been getting caught doing these despicable things, I hope they are never seen or talked about in the wrestling community ever again, and I hope that they are punished to the fullest extent. Okay, I want to make that clear. The people, the actual bad people in the world that are getting caught doing messed up things, I am all for everybody jumping down their throats and them getting exactly what they deserve. Trust me. But we have to also always keep into account that there are people out there who are accused of things that they didn't actually do. And we just have to, we have to just figure things out as time goes on. So I'll leave it at that. This episode wound up being a regular length episode, which is great. I didn't know what to expect coming into this one. So I hope everybody has a great week. I hope y'all make sure to follow me on Twitter at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.